Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine, visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, and we have Katarina Scoburn, actually out of London this weekend, as we talk with Katarina, responsible for the strategy and development of the group of companies and their implementation and alignment within the companies themselves. She is OpenAd's co-founder and group managing director, and we'll find out what that's all about, and lots of exciting things going on there. It's too bad we only have three segments here. We'd like to spend a little bit more time with Katarina. So I hope you'll stay with us for that. Also on the show, just a few moments away, our customer experience, Gene Bliss, customer profitability is what she's talking about today. And a little bit later on the show, it's Patrick Myers, the marketing insider, and it's called Build a Series. Not Build a Bear, but Build a Series. So what do you have hanging
on? Well, and by the way, just to throw out also about Katarina and our guest today, there was a nice article on OpenAd in this fall's Advertising Age, nice way that we got connected up with Katarina, and I think you're going to be really, really interested about this OpenAd business model. It's an interesting concept, and stay tuned for that, because it's we've covered SpotRunner, we've covered Picks and Clicks and some other innovative ideas and Google and so forth here on the show, and I think you'll be surprised about this new...
Film at 11.
Yes, Film at 11.
Exactly. You know,
more and more gays, Ray, are attractive an attractive audience for marketers, but traditional media, as we both talked about, has been very slow to respond, and you know, most know about Viacom's cable network logo and a few mainstream print titles that aim their content at gays and lesbians, but not so on the internet, which is odd because it's rich with content attractive to the demographic. Gays and lesbians spend more time and more money, by the way, online than heterosexual users. By one estimate, $660 billion a year.
Really?
Gays and lesbians are more likely to have a broadband connection. They're more likely to have banked online, visited a social network, read a blog, so on and so forth. So I think it's very odd that with the market there, according to Jupiter Research, that that there's no online effort, both from a behavioral or a contextual advertising online effort to reach out and market to gays online. And I just found this interesting, this this information out by Jupiter Network. Meanwhile, in online ratings, Ray, for the week ending November 11th, according to Nielsen Online, Google was the top company, followed by Microsoft, Yahoo, Time Warner, and News Corp Online as far as the top five brands being utilized as far as search.
So, oh, really? Yeah. Okay. And Nielsen Media Week had something here about Nielsen Mobile and Bases, the organization, revealing that teens and tweens, the tweens, by the way, if you don't know, are 8 to 12, who were surveyed. Isn't it amazing we're surveying 8 to 12-year-old kids? Have very different mobile media usage habits. First of all, between 8 and 12, kids have phones now. How about that? That's a change of pace. Jeff Herman, who is the VP of Mobile Media for Nielsen Mobile, says that in addition to the differences between adult and youth media consumers, there's an important gap between the media behaviors of tweens and teens. He adds that the study, Kids on the Go Mobile Usage by U.S. Teens and Tweens, includes insights from more than 5,000 teens and dissects how these demographic segments are engaging with mobile and traditional media. What they're saying, according to the report, 35% of U.S. tweens own a mobile phone, 8 to 12. 20% have used text messaging. 21% have used ring and answer tones. And let's see, only 5% of tweens access the internet over the phones each month. Kids 8 to 12 years old, Brad. That blows me away.
Yeah.
And,
and you know, the record industry, by some estimates, is making more money with ringtones with some of these artists than they are the actual music.
The music, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
You've been reading
about
that.
Well, we saw that coming a long time ago.
That's
too.
True.
It was big business. As a matter of fact, we had somebody on who... Did they send us all of their ringtones or
three,
something like
three
that?
Three or four years ago, I guess it was over 4 years ago, we had a guest on that was predicting the market for ringtones, and everybody was scratching their head saying, what in the world are we talking about here?
But by the way, I hate ringtones. Just have the damn thing ring, okay?
Right. Well, vibrate for us.
Vibrate for us.
We're lonely.
Or has it just happened? Mine turned itself back on. It's like, that's scary.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm going to need to get a new phone.
Doing a little research for today's interview, I've downloaded something here, Ray. I don't know if you can see from your studio over here, but here's a picture of our guest, Katarina, and she is the most attractive female we've had on all month. She's also the only female we've had on all month.
I give her all year, actually.
I would
that's
say
fine.
All year because she's – and what threw me off here is that right here on this question, on this interview, it says, who do you admire?
Yeah.
No mention of you.
Really?
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Well, we'll have to update that. Then.
Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Yeah. Very attractive young lady there.
Very good.
How can she be co-founder of OpenAdNet and be that attractive? I don't understand that.
Here's another very nice part of the advertising show. Her name is Jean Bliss with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Organic customer growth drives long-term profitability. So why isn't it as important as quarterly sales goals? This is where the customer commitment can fall apart because what's actively asked for, measured, and rewarded doesn't always line up with what's good for customers. A business-to-business company was counting the number of customer accounts, but not the flow or the quality. The sales team was led by an ex-fighter pilot who set off the sales force on what he called speed kills. They were fired up to get as many customers as they could, as fast as they could, but they weren't keeping track of the difference in the value of business each new customer would bring. To them, one unit was one unit. Customers had become widgets. Each customer speed kill carried the same weight on the tote board used to measure success. The sales team exceeded their goal for new customer accounts that year, but sales became a drag on profits, which actually declined. To get beyond this, focus on the profitability of customers and customer accounts, not just the number.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
It's the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to welcome Katarina Scoburn. Katarina is OpenAds co-founder and group managing director. Want to find out more about that? You probably want to stay tuned right here to the Advertising Show.
Yeah, or go to openad.net. Yes,
not yet.
We'll do that later. Hey, Dell, if you haven't heard, has selected WPP Group to handle its $4.5 billion advertising account following a seven-month review. The other finalist competing for the account was Interpublic Group of Companies. Under the agency relationship, WPP will work with Dell to create a new agency. That's what you can do when you have a $4.5 billion ad budget. The new agency will, of course, handle Dell's global marketing duties, including creative media planning, public relations, and CRM. So if you've got a little Dell business, you need to readjust your projections for 08 because they're putting it all in one group, and that's WPP.
Amazing. Yeah. What a great brand, too.
Yeah.
Although a little confusing, they had some bad publicity along the way. I think it was customer support,
Dell,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, apparently Michael Dell's involved in the company now, and he's supposed to be straightening that out. And I might add, my wife made a very positive comment about having a good experience following
with
up
Dell?
With
Dell.
Yeah, and I think they've pulled their customer service out of India or wherever they had it and brought it back to the U.S. So no more asking the person on tech support how the weather is in Bombay. No more of that.
We're not sure. There's another brand called Tascam that we use in the broadcast industry. We're not sure where they're at either, okay?
But not Oklahoma.
No, not even East Oklahoma.
Far East.
Far East Oklahoma, yeah. With a different O. So, yeah. You know, you can learn a lot as a company by having the right kind of customer support. Yeah. I guess Dell learned its lesson, and they've moved on, and things are much better there now. Yeah. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, being powered by Schipul.com. It's Schipul.com, and it's a great company that has an incredible marketing platform called Tendency. Check it out. Ed and his gang do a great job here for the Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
You might think that I placed that commercial there, but I didn't. They just rotate.
Yeah, well.
Katarina Scoburn is co-founder and group managing director of OpenAd. As I said, she's responsible for strategy, development of the group of companies, and their implementation and alignment within the companies themselves. It sounds like a pretty big task here, but we understand, Katarina, you're well qualified for that. First of all, thanks for joining us out of London this weekend, and thanks for being here on the Advertising Show.
It's a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
And according to your bio here, Katarina, you were host of your country's weekly advertising program. Is it KICKCAC? Is that the right pronunciation?
KICKCAC, yes, that's correct.
And
for nearly 8 years.
For nearly 8 years. So is that like an advertising show on television? What was that about?
Yes, well, it was actually to a wider audience. It was not an advertising trade show. It was a primetime television show, a weekly show that explained the workings of advertising to a more general public. We went through a transitional period, as you might know, when I was producing and hosting the show, which was from a semi-market economy to a full market economy. So that was very interesting for the public to see how advertising was produced, what was behind it, what the strategies behind the particular ads that they were seeing on television were, and mostly who the people were that were making those ads, which is always interesting for the viewer, a kind of a behind-the-scenes look.
So your timing on that, obviously you had a captive audience that was interested because it was an audience that needed to know about how all that worked. Give us a short description, if you would, Katarina, of the OpenAd.net business model, if you would, please.
Yes. We're a pure-play ideas company, so we sell concepts for advertising, ideas for creative content of advertising online. We do nothing of what I just mentioned. We don't strategize. We don't offer consulting services. We don't do anything that comes prior to the creative process or anything that comes after the creative process, i.e. production or execution. We can deliver ideas, creative concepts, by what are now 10,000 professionals from 124 countries to the buyer, the ultimate buyer, the advertiser, or an advertising agency that mediates that to its client, the advertiser.
So if it's concept work, I would assume that the client would need to, fill out a creative brief and be able to give those kind of details? Or how do you go about that?
Yes, the sales, there are two tiers of selling. One is actually custom-made ideas, which is the preferred way, the more common way, which is in response to a client's or an agency's brief. There is a standardized pitch briefing form on the website, which is kind of an amalgam of a strategic and a creative brief. So an advertiser can brief creatives directly through the website, or an agency can put that together for the advertiser. And that brief is disseminated to all of our registered creatives. Mm-hmm. Registered means creatives who have cleared legal formalities with us. They work in an environment that's legally analogous to working in an advertising agency. They sign hard copy contracts with us. They're made aware of their rights and responsibilities, particularly confidentiality, third-party copyrights, and so on. And once that's been done, they are able to participate in these pitches and to respond and actually to upload ideas in response to that pitch. The other way of buying ideas through the website is actually from a gallery of ideas, which are ideas which are concepts that these creatives, these very registered creatives, have already uploaded onto the website. And one can browse through industry, sector, and category and see whether there's anything there that fits one's strategy. And I think to draw an analogy would be, I believe most of your listeners will be familiar with the WhatsApp advertising of very, very famous worldwide in 2000,
sure.
Ubiquitous almost. That came about when a film student actually sent a film that he shot with his friends, sent it first to telecommunications companies, and then obviously the very clever Vinnie Warren of DDB Chicago picked up on it and understood that it fit their strategy for Budweiser perfectly and used it in their advertising. So that would be the second way, buying ideas off the gallery.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that advertisers, or with the help of their agency, what percentage of your business is agency versus non-agency business?
We've got agencies signing up in the name of their clients, but truth be said, the majority of our business comes directly from the client these
mm-hmm.
days.
I would imagine so. And if a client pays for the license of the work, Katerina, as opposed to an hourly creative development cost, do clients own the work to use as they wish?
The client can license either for 12 months or for perpetuity. The client can license for worldwide or for a limited geographical region. But whichever way he chooses, he controls the license, he or she controls the license effectively, because no, this work will never be sold to anybody else.
Right.
So in effect, they control it fully.
So, and with regard to cost, is that pricing developed with the assistance of the creative person, or do you have a particular dollar figure that you charge across the board? How does that work?
We have a set of guidelines, actually. However, each advertiser or its agency is free to set a license fee within the pitch brief itself, within mm-hmm. the deadline, and the license fee can be set by the advertiser. We offer these guidelines because, as you know, creative ideation has historically mostly been charged either on a time and materials basis or a commission basis or a retainer fee basis, and rarely on a license fee basis, if ever. So we created a set of guidelines that take into account where the idea will be used, what the size of the market is, how elaborate an idea the advertiser is actually asking for. But those are purely guidelines which the advertiser can stick to or not. Alternatively, if the advertiser chooses not to price the idea, the creative can price the idea and also use these guidelines or not. So in that way, it is a pure marketplace.
And you mentioned pricing as an annual license fee versus what we call a buyout. What would be the buyout? I mean, is that like a double or triple the annual license? Is there a formula there for that?
It's currently set at double the annual license fee. It is estimated that most ideas, although it's a very hard estimate to make, you'll appreciate, will have a lifetime of an average of 3 to 4 years. So it would have been, in a way, fair to estimate it by 3 to 4 times the yearly license fee. It's currently at 2 mm-hmm. on our system.
Right.
But again, that's just a recommendation.
Right, and a great motivation to exercise a buyout if you think you're going to use it beyond annual. With a creative pool of, as you say, some 10,000 professionals, and yet you mentioned legal formalities that you go through with your talent pool there. Do you accept all creatives who would care to participate with the Open Ed Network, or do you conduct a review and select only those that you wish to allow to participate?
Well, first of all, not everyone is eligible to participate, because obviously if one is in a work-for-hire contract, that would disable one from participating, because all the creative work that one would do would belong to the contractor of work-for-hire. Then those particular creatives, in a more simplified way said, people with agency relationship employed by agencies aren't eligible to participate normally in most parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, we do filter the people who participate as well, but only legally. We, in fact, vet the ideas that come in. We have a two-tier vetting system for ideas. One is to do with clearing legal issues to do with the idea, either third-party copyrights or defamation issues, language issues as well. We have native English speakers check each idea for language. We have a fully running Spanish language website where Spanish ideas can be translated into English if that's necessary, and also reviewed for language. That's the one tier of it, where we check whether the creative is eligible to participate, whether the idea is in line with, let's say, prevalent codes of practice worldwide, prevalent codes of advertising practice, whether the language is okay, and so on. Also because we want all people of all nationalities, people who aren't native English speakers, to have equal opportunity in presenting their ideas. Then the second tier of vetting the ideas, and I need to stress that we don't act as creative directors. This is really separating the professional idea from the non-professionally created idea. All else should be done by the advertiser and or its agency, i.e. the selection of the idea, determining whether it's fit to brief and so on. But we do, let's say, filter out the non-professional work, and that that's not shown to the client, either in a pitch situation or in a gallery situation. So really, we don't vet the people, we vet the ideas that come in. They also come across as anonymously, which is quite appealing, actually, to many of our authors, because it comes across without gender, provenance, reputation, many of the things that sometimes are arbitrary in the selection of as an idea.
We have a very special guest. I forgot to ask, is there a blood test involved in that too, Katarina?
We're thinking about it. But at this point, we're not as advanced. We are an online system, don't forget.
There you go. Katarina Scoburn is our guest, OpenAd co-founder and group managing director out of London this weekend, with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
We are back on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth and Katarina Scoburn out of London. That's where she's at this weekend. And actually, you get around, don't you, Katarina?
I do quite a bit of traveling, yes. I do. I come to the States quite often. I grew up actually very near New York City, so it's almost like coming home for me.
Wow.
And I do get around quite a bit, yeah, as they say.
So it's the University of Ljubljana?
Ljubljana.
Ljubljana, okay. Yeah. I knew that.
Yeah.
The J is silent. Oh, we always remember that, don't we? Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's my pleasure.
And I just checked online, Ray. She's edited this. Who do you admire most? It says Brad and some other guy,
and I'll get back with that later. Right, exactly.
No, honored to have you on the show all the way from London today, Katarina. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well,
I edit very quickly online.
Yes, you do.
As you can tell.
Yes, you do. Thank you so much for that. I understand that you guys tested the idea before bringing it to market. Is it safe to say that this was conducted in Europe as opposed to North America? And was it with the creatives or on the advertiser side? How did you go about that?
Well, given my background and my co-founder's background, we're all advertising through and through. We're really enamored with the advertising profession, and we really believed and still believe that we're generating an improvement here. And my background being having done the television show prior to this for almost 8 years, I was able to reach out to quite a few key industry figures and canvass their opinions about how this kind of concept would best fit, let's say, all sides involved in advertising. That is, the client, the agency, the creative, media, and so on. So I have interviewed quite a few people in the U.S. as well in the process, and continue to, because I have to stress that while we did one concerted round back in 2003 of testing and three iterations of the concept and website hence, but we continue to fit the concepts according to the feedback that we get. So it's still very much a learning process and does very much involve U.S. industry figures as well as European, as well as Latin American, as well as Asian.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever run into any intellectual property issues? I mean, after all, you're crossing all national borders via the net.
Well, we do run into issues. We've been able to resolve them. I mean, the issues being, we've created a relatively tight intellectual property rights structure mm-hmm. on the website for a website. We were almost holier than thou since the beginning in terms of rigorously enforcing the rules on our website. I mean, there are always issues that are new to us and our customer service team who filters these ideas, and they are regularly trained in legal issues and consult with legal counsel should any kind of issues come up. But they're standard for the business, and I think what's interesting is that we're turning out a very litigious bunch of creatives, particularly for Europe, because they are made aware of their rights and responsibilities offline as well as online. We do host evenings and events for creatives, not only because it gives them a place to congregate because they're mostly freelancers and they wouldn't normally be going to work every day, but also to make them aware of the legal issues. And they are using that to their advantage as well, interestingly enough. So there are always issues, and it's a field that, as you know, is continually evolving. But we were fortunate enough, we initially, when we were setting up the intellectual property rights structure, we started here in London with a media law company here in London. However, our general legal counsel was somebody who is a New York bar lawyer as well. So we checked our legal structure against U.S. law and Canadian law and the Berne Convention in general, obviously, which would govern most of these issues. So we can safely say that apart for some territories where these conventions and where these general guidelines aren't enforced, and we know who they are, we do have a structure that blankets, that basically suits all territories that we are operating in currently.
Well, with any innovative idea, you're going to run into issues, and it sounds like you guys are working through them. You've got a great success story about Gillette's Puerto Rico division. We're going to save that for next segment.
We'll be doing that in just a moment on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. Glad you're with us. We've got another segment with Katarina, and we hope you stay with us right here.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
B.J. Thomas.
There's a whole new way of living. Pepsi helps supply.
Welcome back. It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins, Brad Forsythe, and our special guest out of London this weekend, it's Katarina Scoburn, Open Ads co-founder and group managing director. Katarina, a pleasure to have you here. Welcome back to the show.
Hello again. Thank you for having me.
You know, it flies by when you've got a great guest, Ray, and when you've got an attractive guest out of London, as we do today, it even flies by more. We mentioned off air and talked to Katarina, and we've got an issue around confidentiality with the Gillette's Puerto Rico division story, but we have a different success story that Katarina would like to share with our listeners. Why don't you do that for us, please?
Well, I love to talk about Make Poverty History because it's such a great cause as well. You would know it as the One Campaign in the U.S. Make Poverty History came to us in very early. It was almost a test pitch in 2005, and their activity was around the G8 summit in Edinburgh at the time. And what they wanted to do is raise awareness online as well as offline about their activities around the G8 summit. And more than 500 responses came into the pitch brief that was put online at openad.net. And the idea they selected was actually by two middleweight creatives coming from right here in London by chance. And those two creatives came from a relatively small agency here called Agency Republic, very creative though. And those two creatives and the agency teamed up with two other agencies to produce a website that became g8rally.com, where actually people could demonstrate online instead of offline, or alongside offline, create avatars of themselves. It was a hugely popular website. But one of the reasons why I like this story is that these three agencies produced it. The website itself went on to win every possible award, including a Cannes Cyber Lion, which is obviously the one of the top accolades in our business. And the agency, one of the agencies, Agency Republic, where the creatives came from, went on to win the UNICEF business on the back of that, because UNICEF was obviously part of the consortium that was Make Poverty History and the One campaign. The creatives became creative directors. They were promoted. So it's a wonderful win-win situation, which is really what we are all about and what we like to be. We are purely a mediator of intellectual property, of these creative ideas. We like it for it to be an ego-less website. We like for everybody else to profit and for ourselves to kind of move back once the idea is sold. So that's an example that I quite like. There are obviously many more. Some we are at liberty to talk about, some we aren't. Some have been produced, some haven't yet. But some wonderful work being sold, and we're quite proud of that.
That's great.
Any new product offerings under development at OpenEdNet which we might see down the road?
Well, actually, I think we've refined and honed our business for 3 years prior to actually going live and selling it. So I think down the road, obviously, we've got 20 new creatives joining by the day. So that in itself, the number of creatives and the possibilities, regardless of geographical location, will yet improve, but we're pretty much going where we set out to go, and we're very happy there. There will be community features for the marketer as well as for the creative, introduced obviously in line with developments in the internet and in our industry. But I think the core business remains, we are a pure play ideas company.
Yeah, we have a couple minutes left here, Katarina. I'd like to talk about the business side, if I could, of OpenEdNet. Is your company self-funded, or do you have investors?
We are actually owned by a listed company. We founded OpenEd.net in 2002, and we funded it for actually nearly 2 years ourselves, the founders. And then we realized that in order to give it the worldwide attention that it needs, we needed some funding. So we, in effect, sold 50.1% to a quoted company called Istrabenz that comes from Central Europe, and they have funded us since to develop this concept.
Any plans to go public or remain a privately held company?
Well, it will depend on the circumstances on the market once we were ready to go public, which isn't quite yet at this point. So it's hard to gauge what those circumstances will be at that point, but it makes all the sense in the world for a business like this to go public. Of course it does.
Yeah, and expectations for growth, say, for the near term, for the next year, 2008?
Well, I can't talk about numbers specifically, but obviously this is a tipping point year for us. We've been working with some wonderful international companies, some wonderful U.S.-based companies, and in the year 2008, we are looking to expand that activity. So we're very excited about what's to come.
Katarina, time flies when you have a great guest like yourself, and we certainly do appreciate you taking the time out of your weekend to join us from London. Best of luck and continued success with OpenEd. It's OpenEd.net, and we suggest you go check it out, not only if you're an independent creative, but from a business standpoint as well. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me. It was a real pleasure.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, there's more to come in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Back in The Advertising Show, thanks again to Katarina, our very special guest here today on The Advertising Show. We've got a gentleman who's an expert on doing business with China next week. His name is Mike Saxon. He's author of a book called An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. That would qualify him as an expert already.
Right.
But the man not only has that type of experience as an author, but practical experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing, though, Stuart Elliott from The Times.
Mm-hmm. Former guest.
Exactly. There are those who consider the Summer Olympics, an exercise in commercialism, which I kind of believe they are in
sure
a roundabout way.
Of course.
Still, the coming games in Beijing, now less than 9 months away, promises to be an important moment for Madison Avenue, if not furthering the understanding among nations. Billions that will be spent on Olympics-related advertising directly by sponsors and indirectly by marketers seeking to bask in the reflected glow could smooth the bumpy ride the advertising industry is now enduring. What they're saying, for instance, a prediction in June by Universal McCann saw a 5.5% increase in worldwide ad spending next year compared with 2007.
Hmm.
So apparently some good things potentially happening there, according to Stuart. But you can go read the whole article as well. And maybe Mike will have some info on it on the show next week as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and expecting the Olympics to help carry the world ad economy, as we saw in some publication
exactly.
recently. You and I talked about that.
Yeah.
Real quickly, the number of users regularly streaming video on the web continues to climb, Ray. According to a new report issued by ComScore, nearly three-quarters, or 74.8% of all web users, watched a video online during the month of September of this of 07. And that translates to 136 million people viewing video clips online, roughly 4 million more people than did the previous month. So it's a growing market, and watching streaming video, I think if you were to go back a few years, it was very novel, and it's becoming mainstream now.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think one day people will say, so people used to not watch streaming video online?
Isn't that the way it always is?
Yeah.
And watching the streaming video on phones and such.
Exactly. Mobile devices, as they say today.
Yes, they
Welcome
are.
Yeah. To understanding
mobile
the future
phones,
now,
and cell phone,
it's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Think
replacing
back
watches,
when you were young and single and you were
about.
Dating.
We have Patrick Meyer on the show
the
right now. The feature is called The Marketing Insider, and what Patrick is talking about is build a series. Let's listen.
Most marketers and their agencies continue to try and tell the entire story in one 30-second spot and never come back with chapters that continually unfold. So today what I'm going to talk to you about is building marketing episodes. The consumer wants you to deliver a never-ending story. Give them just enough with each episode to bring them into your brand, wanting to explore and know more. So you need to create a marketing plan so that you've got 4 to 6 episodes across the year. One of our clients is Daimler Chrysler, and the brand is Dodge. So they came out with a great, very creative spot around Rock'em Sock'em. One of the Rock'em Sock'em robots takes on a Dodge Ram. But what we did with our client was to create a whole episode that was the follow-up. It was around what they call Truck Month, and everything was geared to reach out and touch people with the Rock'em Sock'em characters and then drive people to retail. We created a microsite that had a game that you came to. There was even a link between the microsite and YouTube with funny videos. And lastly, there was retail, things that were happening in the dealership with inflatable Rock'em Sock'em characters and other things. So as you go forward, challenge yourself, challenge your team, challenge your client to think a different way and build marketing episodes.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Thanks, Patrick. On The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And we're about to wrap up another show here as we get closer to the Christmas holiday, which is exciting.
Yeah, what are we, how far, I thought we were past, you mean the New Year's holiday.
No, the Christmas holiday.
Oh, the Christmas holiday?
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Well, I better get out there.
I know, it gets a little confusing this
it
time.
Really does. It really does.
What do you have there that you're looking at?
You know, Ray, fur is something that is a highly controversial issue. And a new ad campaign hopes to position the fur industry. This is an interesting twist here. Mm-hmm. As an eco-friendly business, the Fur Council of Canada has rolled out print ads touting its eco-fashions to consumers while countering past and present anti-fur campaigns. According to the council executive vice president, it was important to explain the real story of the fur industry, and that is if you care about nature and protecting the environment, fur is an excellent choice. Now, I don't know about you, Ray, but opponents, and that would be, I think, you and me, like the folks also at PETA, say the approach is completely ridiculous and that the trade is the most violent and bloody on the planet. He claims that he claims the amount of fossil fuel needed for a farm-raised animal skin is 20 times that in which it takes to make fake fur.
Right.
So they're trying to put a little spin on it to try to say the fur industry is an eco-friendly industry.
I don't think so.
No, and I don't know about you. I saw on HBO, and it freaked me out. I had to get off the channel. I was watching HBO, and it was something about the PETA interview, and they had these different slices of what goes on in that world.
Right.
I watched about 60 seconds, and I had to get off of it.
Really?
It was pretty...
graphic?
Yes, very graphic.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
we're very much aware of the problem, but please don't show us pictures.
Oh, my
or
goodness.
Something like that.
That was terrible.
It's almost like the 6 o'clock news nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
We have another great show ahead and another one coming your way as we transition from 07 to 08 with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show. Hope you've enjoyed these past year's worth of shows, and you can always go to the website and hear them all back to 2001 is where we're at. With that. So next week, look forward to an interview with Mike Saxon, author of An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.